Well, we are this morning talking more about the glory of God. Last week, we started this concept as we've left this idea of worship, which we have spent all of January and February, talking about this concept of worship and why are we here. And remember last week as we looked in Isaiah 43, which I encourage you to, if you've got your Bibles or, like I say, your tablets or phones with your Bible apps, turn over to Isaiah 43. And I'm going to reread this, but now, starting in verse 1, this is what the Lord said. He who created you, formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your servant. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, people in exchange for you. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will bring your children from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. To the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and whom I made. Everything that God has created is for His glory. We talked last week about this this reality that we live under, that is, our lives are ordained for the glory of God. Everything that we are a part of is for the glory of God. The Bible is clear from the first chapter to the last that our lives, this creation, this universe, screams, beckons, calls out to the glory of God. In Isaiah 6 and 3, we are told that the angels for all of eternity are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that we are, or not in Genesis 1, but in Genesis 2 and 3, we are created in the image of God, millions and millions of people walking around, image bearers of God. This world is full of glorious ruins, but not only humans, nature. Why such a breathtaking world to live in? Why such a vast universe? The Bible is crystal clear about this. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19 and 1. If earth is the only inhabited planet, and we are the only rational inhabiting beings, why such a large and empty universe? Because the universe is about God. And at its fullest, it is an understatement. God created us to know Him, to love Him, to show Him. And He gave us a hint of what He is like. And it's called our universe. The universe is declaring the glory of God. And it's the reason that we exist in Romans chapter 1, 20 and 21. The reason we exist is to behold the glory of God and to be in awe of it, to be stunned by it. Paul tells us His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen and perceived since the beginning of creation and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not glorify Him. And that is the problem that we have fallen into, that although God can be clearly seen in the vastness of the universe, humans throughout history have known about Him but have not glorified Him. We have instead, in Romans 1 and 23, exchanged the reality of God for images. And as I talked about last week, for us, it's usually the image in the mirror. Isaiah states plainly in verse 7 of 43, we are created for His glory. But the whole book of Isaiah and all of the prophets who understand the vastness and the glory of God, they state the same thing over and over in Isaiah 40:4-5. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Isaiah 44:23. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forests, and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and he will be glorified in Israel. Isaiah 48:9-11. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to any other. Isaiah 60:2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, a thick darkness of the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen in you. He goes on in Isaiah 61:1-3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to give them the garment of praise instead of faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. That's why the universe exists. That's why our lives matter. And if this takes a hold of us, if the glory of God, the reality of what we are to do, to glorify God in us and through us, to show those around us, the universe and all of its glory is pointing to God. If this takes a hold of us, as it should, it will affect the way that we think about and the way that we feel about everything. As Al prayed so eloquently, it's hard for us to understand that concept that everything we do is for His glory. But there is a reality that we have to be aware of. We can't leave the glory of God simply existing in the vastness of the universe, and that our lives and the point of us is to glorify God. It's too basic, it's too general, it's too disconnected from the specific persons of our lives. You see, the glory of God is seen most clearly in the cross of Christ. And the fact that that becomes personal for us and in us is where the connection to us and God's glory starts to play out in all that we do and say and think and feel. Because you see, this world, you know, why this world? Why this history? Why are things the way that they are? Why would God create the vastness of this universe, this inhabited planet, this history with the creation in His image and the introduction of sin and the tragic fall? All of the historical events leading up to the calling of Israel, their inevitable misunderstanding, misinterpretation, God bringing about thousands of years later Jesus into the mix, His brutal crucifixion, His glorious resurrection. Why this world? Why this history? It was created, and I'm putting this up, I wanted to read this exactly how I wrote it. It was created and is guided and is sustained by God, so that the grace of God, supremely displayed in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, would be glorified in the exalting joy of those who are redeemed. That's why this world, that's why this history, it unfolded the way that it did so that the supreme reality of God's glory would be seen in the supreme act of His grace and would be exalted and the joy of those who are redeemed. You see, the highest point of the glory of God is in God's grace. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6 tells us that all of this, all of our lives, all of the plan, all of His glory, all of His grace, all of this is to the praise, the glory of His grace. The life of Jesus isn't just about redeeming sinners, although that is the outcome. The point is so that God would be seen as we look at the vast universe and it brings into view a little bit of the awe-inspiring, stunning reality of God. The point of the life, the death, the resurrection is about the praise of the glory of the grace of God. So as we try to bring this idea of everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we feel, everything that we experience is in order to glorify God. It starts with His grace. Not only is the highest point of God's glory found in God's grace, but the reality is that God planned this before creation. His glory is a thread that runs through all of human history since before there was human history. Continuing in Ephesians, but taking a step back to verse 4 and verse 6. He says that we are predestined for this life in Christ, this redemptive history before the foundation of the world. Everything that we experience is woven through time and history before God founded this world that we live in. And it wasn't just an arbitrary plan. It wasn't just a wait and see and we'll figure it out when we get there. The glory of His grace would come through His Son. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. God called us to be holy because of His own purpose and His own grace, which He gave us through Christ Jesus. So if I leave you with nothing else today, the ultimate purpose in creating and in guiding and in sustaining this world is the praise of the glory of the grace of God in the crucifixion of His Son for sinners. Last week I talked about the concept that just mind-blowing to me. And that is that God's grace is inevitable. God's glory, excuse me, is inevitable throughout history. His glory is inevitable for two reasons. One, because it is seen in its most clearest form in His grace as He saves sinners. So as God looks down with His benevolent love and His grace, and He sees us eternally separated through our sin, and He condescends to save us, to redeem us unto Him, and to give us eternal life, He is glorified by His grace. Those that get it, take Him up on the offer, and He is glorified in our lives. Those that don't, miss out, and He's glorified anyway because He will not change His nature. He will not sacrifice or give up any of His holiness, even in the face of losing what He loves. And He's glorified in His nature, in His holiness. But what's also mind-blowing to me is that even though He knew, and by all accounts, the Bible tells us that He knew exactly how it would play out. Even though He knew, He was glorified by His purpose of creating. I will create. I will guide. I will sustain this world by My grace and I will save sinners, and I will be glorified. I will be seen for who I am in this act that was preordained from the beginning of time. God is seen most clearly when we are looking at the cross of Christ. He is most glorified in the reality of His willingness to save us from the beginning of time. This morning, as we go through the rest of this day, as the rest of this week and this year, trying to do everything we can to glorify God, it starts with keeping our eyes on the cross. It starts with us realizing that from the beginning of time, we were ordained to be redeemed by God. When that is our message, when that is our life, when that is our motivating factor, God is most glorified in our lives. God is most seen when people put their eye to the telescope of our life and they see God come into view, the grace that we experience and that we pass on to them. This morning, will you see God more clearly? This morning, will you glorify God more fully and more completely by realizing the glory that exists in the cross of Christ, the apex of God's glorious grace seen in the death of His Son that was planned from before the foundations of the world. This morning, if that's what you want for your life, you can start that confessing Christ as Lord and Savior and putting all of your hope, as Charlie would point out in Colossians, all of your hope of glory in Christ. Confessing Christ, being baptized, giving all of Him, all of the glory to Him. Or maybe you've done that and you want to be reunited with Him. Maybe there's been a lapse in recognition and He hasn't been glorified. The grace of God has not been flowing from Him through you into others and you want to be restored. Whatever your need is this morning, glorify God as together we stand and as we sing.